Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. It's great to have you here on this 4th of July weekend and such a beautiful day that the Lord has made for us. And today, we're excited to see our new covenant pastor, Ingrid Ketch-Taylor. Is that the way I say it? We just call her Ing. Ing, you want to stand up for a second? So we're thrilled to have Ing to begin here as our covenant pastor, and I also want to recognize Reverend Tom Clifton. He has been a constant presence and support for this church in multiple transitions, and we appreciate it very much, Tom. But he will continue to be the pastor in residence here, so we appreciate that. With that, I turn over to Tom for the service.
Well, thank you for that welcome. Thanks for the rousing prelude. That gets me ready for worship, to hear such rousing, beautiful music. Those of you who are guests among us, welcome. We see a number here who are guests over the holiday, probably visiting. And so we're glad you're here. And it's good to see that Ing did make it. She did not forget. Ing, I tried to pronounce your last name to the congregation. Is it Cal Thayer? You teach them, okay? Obviously, that's your job. You teach, and I'll learn it too. Or Ing. Okay, all right. German names are just awful. I don't know why we have to put up with Germans. So anyway. I trust this has been a good weekend for you. Part of my holiday was to watch the hot dog eating contest in Coney Island. I had never watched that before. And to see someone eat 70 and one half hot dogs in 10 minutes. If you haven't seen that, you're missing something. I'm telling you. I'll tell you this, there's no delicate way to eat 70 hot dogs in 10 minutes. So anyway, I'd never watched it before. I taped it. Maybe I'll watch it again sometime. It's great to see you, my brothers and sisters, my precious brothers and sisters, precious children of God. Welcome to this time and this place of worship. Let us call one another to the Lord's presence. In deep gratitude, we come to worship God.
We recognize God as the source of all goodness.
All good gifts come from the Spirit of God.
The love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness are all from God.
We come with grateful hearts.
We gather to show
May our praise be from the depths of our hearts as we stand, if able, and with every voice together we sing.
Thank you.
with one voice together, we bring our corporate confession. O God, we bring to you our inept and evil ways and rest our regret and guilt into your hands. Wash and cleanse us from our wounds. Anoint us with the salve of forgiveness. Take us gently by the chin and lift up our faces so that we can look into the face of Christ Jesus without shame or fear. With him, let us recover our authentic humanity and face all coming challenges with his quiet strength. Now, in silence, we bring our personal confession. And so the best thing we can ever know, the Lord is merciful and loving, slow to anger and full of constant love. God does not punish us as we deserve or repay us according to our sins. As far as the east is from the west, so far does God remove our sins from us. Dear friends, we are God's forgiven people. Amen. Now we are privileged to remember the faith of the church as we say together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Send blessing, send greeting to one another. As we pray today, we bring our concerns to God in corporate prayer, spoken prayer. There'll be a moment of silent prayer for you to bring your own words of expression of faith and help and need. We're mindful always as we come that our world is not as it needs to be and should be. So we usually pray for peace. Remember the Middle East. Remember Ukraine. Remember our covenant pastor who joins us for the first time today. And then you've probably noted in the news the terrible floods in Central Texas. And we hardly imagine the pain, the suffering and loss of those mothers and fathers and grandparents and others who lost their precious children and other loved ones. And so in our prayer today, let us remember those near us as well as those who are far away. Join with me as we join in prayer. O God, creator of all tribes and nations, of all peoples, we lift up our prayers to you as we worship you this day and in all of the moments of our lives. For in you we live and breathe and have our very being. We pray that your kingdom might be expressed in our living. and might be effective for blessing to those around us every day. May the bread needed for today be made available to all who are hungry. In our times of testing, may we listen first for your voice calling to us. Take from us our selfishness, self-centeredness. Bless the world and all that is in it, for we and they and everything belongs to you. Help us to find ourselves complete in giving ourselves completely to you. And so we pray for our world today. We pray for those who are oppressed. We pray for those whose wounds and whose broken hearts need healing. We pray that you will bring comfort and peace to all who mourn around the world and especially in Texas on this day. Grant to every broken heart a blessing of consolation. Bring eventually to every broken heart your healing balm, that the rolling tears will be washed away and people will be made strong again. For those whom we love and know, friends and neighbors, loved ones who need your help in healing this day, we bring our personal prayers now. O God, we are yours, body and soul. Take us, guide our steps through the complexity of every moment. Keep us mindful of your steadfast love for us and how we can bring that love to life in the hearts of those that we love and serve and encounter daily. Hear our prayers, we pray. We give them in the name of Christ our Lord, the one who taught his disciples to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we join together, standing if able, for our hymn, Take My Life, on the screen. And in the hymnal, let's rise and sing.
Take my life.
We worship God now as we bring our gifts. We are at the end. We are at the end of the Ten Commandments. I know that you've memorized each one now, and if I see you after worship some Sunday, I'll say, what's the sixth commandment? You'll be ready. You'll be ready to say what it is. So the ending. The ending comes with our reading again, these commandments, the last one now, thou shalt not covet. It's a little lengthier than some. The writer gives us a little bit more information, so to make sure we understand what that means. And then from the Gospel of Luke, the story, the parable of the rich farmer. Now, I didn't know when I picked this text that Ng would get this text as the gospel reading 1 month from today. So if she repeats this sermon on Communion Sunday in August, you know that she couldn't help herself. And I did this to her. You can blame me if you want to. So let's begin reading the Ten Commandments responsively, and then the Gospel of Luke.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Honor thy father and thy mother.
Thou shalt not kill.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Thou shalt not steal.
Thou shalt not bear false witness.
Thou shalt not covet.
Neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's.
And then the parable from Luke. Someone in the crowd said to him, Jesus, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus replied, Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Then he, Jesus, said to them, Watch out. Be on your guard. against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And Jesus told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger barns. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry." But God said to him, "You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. Let us pray. Oh God, may your word, sharper than any two-edged sword, go forth from this place into all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. A story. There was a hermit who was wandering around in a cave. And to his great surprise, he discovered a treasure chest. He opened it up and it was full of gold and silver and treasure. He slammed the lid down and ran out from the cave. As fast as he could run, he ran down the road. And there were three scoundrels. And they saw the hermit running down the road and they stopped him and said, "Hey, old timer, what's the rush?" And the hermit said, "I'm running from the devil." "What do you mean you're running from the devil?" And then he told them about being in the cave and how he discovered this treasure, and they forced him to go back and to show them where the treasure was so that they could have it. So they hatched this plan. Here's the plan. The first of the scoundrels was sent into town to buy food and provisions. The other two would stay at the cave and guard the treasure so no one else found it. Well, the one who went into town to buy food and provisions thought to himself, "I know what I'll do. I'll lace the food with poison so that when I go back and they eat the food, they will both die and I'll have the treasure all to myself." And the exact same moment he was making his plan, the other two scoundrels in the cave made their plan. They said, "Let's do this. When the first scoundrel comes, we'll kill him. And then we can divide the treasure 50-50. Well, it happened just that way. The first of the scoundrels came back. They killed him. And then they sat down for a meal. And they both died. Wanting the wrong things in the wrong way. our text from the Old Testament, the 10th commandment, the commandment about coveting, is specific. You know, some of these commandments are really sort of sparse. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, just a few words. But evidently, you and I need to hear a little bit more about this 10th commandment. So it says, thou shalt not covet, and then goes into specifics. You're not to covet your neighbor's house. You're not to covet your neighbor's wife. You're not to covet your neighbor's animals. You're not to covet all of these things you're not supposed to covet. They belong to your neighbor and not to you. And then after the list, it says, or anything. Just in case something's been left out, you are not to covet anything that is your neighbor's. It is your neighbor's. It is not yours. Now, there are some religions in the world that focus really strongly on this thing of covetousness and desire. There are some religions in the world that say that desire is the problem. It's the human problem. It's the big problem. And if we could just help people get rid of desire, get rid of all desire whatsoever, then people would be able to live in peace. They wouldn't want anything. They wouldn't hurt each other or take things from each other, because the desire for anything that they might want has been eliminated. So it's the killing, quashing of all desire, to be a person without desire. Bible never says anything quite like that at all. Not at all. Not in the least. Desire is a good thing, and the world is a good place. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. The world is full of good things. And we even pray. You've prayed already today. Give us, O God, today our daily bread. It's a prayer of desire. And so we have this 10th commandment, which focuses on wanting. Wanting in a way that becomes unhealthy and destructive. Wanting the wrong things in the wrong way. Remember, the New Testament says there's nothing evil in itself. There's nothing bad in itself. In the book of Romans, there was this discussion about good food, a bad food, a holy food, unholy food, and the writer says, no. Nothing in itself is evil. Everything in itself is good. And so the parable that Jesus tells, as obviously someone comes to him and there's a family problem. My brother is not dividing things up with me. Tell him to do what he's supposed to do. And so Jesus gives this parable. The parable's about a farmer. He's a pretty good farmer. He's a rich farmer. And he has 1 year a bumper crop that exceeds everything that you could possibly imagine. When you hear a parable, when you read a parable, look for exaggeration. Parables are just full of exaggeration. If you don't see the exaggeration, you probably haven't heard the parable. The exaggeration here is that the bumper crop that he received that season was so large, so big, so massive, that he would be able to sit back for the rest of his life. And he said, well, how am I going to do this? Oh, he said, I know what I can do. I'll tear down my old barns and I will build new barns. And I will have enough to store. I will have enough to keep me for as long as I live. And then I will be able to eat and drink and be merry. Oh, we like that. That's the American dream in spades. To have more. More than we could ever use right now. We want more so that we can have enough to keep us as long as we need more. It's all there. More, more, more. I've had people come into my office and confess various things. I've never once had someone come to me and say, Pastor, I have broken the 10th commandment. I have wanted too much. Please pray for me that God will take everything from me that's not essential so that I can just have what's necessary. I've never had anyone ever come close to confessing anything like that. God, you've given me too much. I don't know what to do with all of the goods and riches that you've placed. I've got a problem. I'm too rich. I'm too wealthy. I have too much. No one, not once, has ever said that to me. And so we have this farmer. He has the answer to his problem. The answer is, and if you read it, it's five times in three verses. I, five times. He's so full of the I that he never hears God speak to him. He never hears God's judgment when God says, you fool. He can't hear that because his life is so full of himself. He's so wrapped up in what he wants and what he needs. Eat, make, and drink, and be merry. Oh my gosh, yes. That's the purpose. That's the purpose of life. That's why God has put you into this world. That's your purpose. That's your design. That's your goal. Eat, drink, and be merry, and then life will be fulfilled. We will be living like God wants us to live because God wants us to fill our days with eating and drinking and being merry. The purpose of life. You can't hear God say, you fool. Did you notice in the story that he doesn't give a thought to the farm workers? He didn't bring all this in to the harvest by himself, did he? He was a rich man. He had somebody working, maybe several farm workers. Not a thought about their sharing in the goodness of the harvest. Did you notice that it never occurred to him to say, now that I have all of this, look how I can help feed the poor, the needy, the hurting, the sick around me. It never occurs to him. So full of himself that he cannot hear God's voice. You fool. Wanting too much in the wrong way is the sin of the 10th commandment. It's looking at what someone else has been blessed with and yearning to take and to want and to follow in that path. As if somehow God has left you out and blessed someone else with more. A sense of resentment and a sense of loss, of being less. We are not to look to the left or to the right, across the street or behind. We are to look at what God has given us. What God has given us is perfect for us, for our faithfulness and our obedience and our service. My favorite verse of the Bible is from the 63rd Psalm. And the psalmist says, "Oh God, your steadfast love is better than life." Take that, will you? That's the best gift you'll ever have. That's the most precious thing you'll ever know. God's steadfast love is better than life itself. And from that beginning, give yourself away. See how much you can share. See how much you can give for blessing, and you'll discover that after you've given everything you can, whatever is left will be enough. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, you are the giver of every gift that is good, and your steadfast love is the best of all. Help us to receive your blessings. Help us to share in your goodness all of our days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our communion hymn, as we prepare to come to the table, is number 507, verses 1, 2, and 5. Let's join together, standing if able, and sing our hymn of communion.
that whether you have them all memorized and you recite them going forward and going backward, God loves you. And whether you can't, God loves you. And whether you can, you are welcome at this table. And whether you get them memorized or you never get them memorized, you are welcome at this table. Everyone is welcome at this table because, as the song says, it's not my table, it's not Glenshaw Valley's table, this is God's table. We celebrate open communion here at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. All are welcome. This is the table of grace. This is the table of God's mercy and love. What will happen is the elders will move among you first with the bread. When all have been served, we will take it together in thankfulness. Then we will distribute the cup, come back forward, and all have been served, we will take it together in thankfulness. Please join me in prayer. God of the fair winds and bounteous fields, of the storms overhead and the seas below, with joy we celebrate the connection we have with all of creation, from sea to shining sea, with the beauteous mountain caps, to the rivers winding across the land. We honor the connection we have with your beings, from the chipmunks scurrying through our yards to the swallows swooping in the air above. We embrace the relationships with our neighbors near and far, the ones who are close to our hearts and the ones with whom distance and miles and souls sets us apart. And so we come to this table, the ones with many opportunities, and those seeking liberty, the ones who have been disregarded and those embraced, knowing that Christ's welcome receives all, knowing that Jesus the Christ ate with sinners and tax collectors, with those who disapproved and those who leapt for joy, with Judas and Peter, with Mary and Martha, with Philip and Thomas. And so we too come to the table. The table of God's freedom, the table of God's justice and love, the table which reflects the true kingdom, empire, realm of God, where all are welcome. We come to the table remembering the night before Jesus died, as he ate with his followers in a room away from the world, taking a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is poured out for you, and it is the new covenant. Whenever you eat and drink at this table, we remember Christ in our midst. This is the bread of life for all who hunger, and we will take it together in thankfulness. And this is the cup of compassion for the broken world. We will drink it together in thankfulness as well." God of love, we give thanks for satisfying our hungry hearts with this meal. Send us from here to reveal your love to the world. Inspire us in the resolve and the courage, the compassion and the passion to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with you. Amen. Let us stand together and sing our closing hymn, Rise in Body or Spirit, all who love and serve yours.
Enduring fellowship, now and forever.
Amen.